Welcome to Life Through a Dram, where Danny Brown shares his take on life, being a better person, and appreciating the here and now, all accompanied by a dram and a fine single malt whiskey. And now, here's your host, Danny Brown.
Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of Life Through a Dram. This week, I've got someone that's got a really interesting series of personal stories. I've known Ryan Cox, who's my guest this evening, for a while now, and I followed a lot of the stuff that he's been doing, which is really cool. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you there this week. So Ryan, welcome to the show, and how about telling us a little bit about yourself?
Appreciate you having me. Thanks, Danny. Yeah, so I'm the digital marketing manager at J.C. Hart. We're a apartment management and builder company in we're based out of Carmel, Indiana. Essentially, we build and then manage apartment communities. The interesting thing about the current role that I'm in is that 4.5 years ago, I decided to adopt my two nephews. And at the time, I had never had a W-2 job. I'd always been 1099, kind of doing my own thing. And I have a unique ability to build pretty strong relationships pretty quickly, present company included, with people, a lot of whom I've never actually met in person. And the long or the short of the J.C. Hart story is that I sent an email out to 40 people that I had built relationships with, and one of them happened to be married to the web developer for J.C. Hart. And she said, "I don't know how close Carmel is to where you are, Ryan, but I think I know of something that's in Indiana." And I met with my now boss. He knew that he was looking for something, but he didn't really know what he was looking for. And I said, "All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a digital audit of everything that you have. I'm going to basically tell you all the things that I would do differently. I'm going to write a job description, and I'm going to email it to you over the weekend." He was like, "That sounds great." It wasn't in his inbox, but for 10 minutes, and he said, "We need to have you come in and interview." So you and I both know that means that he didn't actually read anything, and I was offered a job the next week, and I am the only employee at J.C. Hart to have never actually filled out an application.
Damn, that's pretty cool. That's deserving of a cheers.
Cheers.
Just before we continue, mate, what are you drinking this evening? Did you bring anything with you for the?
I did, and I took a picture, and I was going to message it to you before. I have Woodford Reserve Double Oak.
Oh, good choice. That's an excellent bourbon. Really, really good. I was in Louisville last year, around about October, with Sam Fiorella at a trade event, and obviously, Louisville's in Kentucky, bourbon capital of the world, and I tried so many bourbons, and I was really impressed by the quality. But yeah, that Woodford Double Oak, that's an amazing one. I'll join you. I've got a Beaumont 12-year-old tonight,
nice.
And it's one of the single malts from the Islay region. So it's got a bit of peat in it, gives you a nice smoky taste, but it's one of the smoother ones. So, shalange, mate.
Cheers.
So yeah, that was like really cool, and it shows you the value of personal, like true personal connections. You know, I know social media gets a lot of negativity about, you know, where it's going and what it's helping people achieve, you know, from a divisive point of view. But as you mentioned, and I know we met through social media, there's a lot of good that can happen from it, and building these personal relationships makes a huge difference, as you just as you found out.
Yeah, no, and the reason that I kind of jumped right in when you introduced me to that story is because my story is kind of a story of really taking an interest in building actual relationships. Like, there's a lot of people that have a lot more clout than I do online. They're very much my senior when it comes to skill set and abilities, whether it's in marketing or online advertising. But something I always saw the long-term play value in was building relationships. And to that point of sending that email, everything I'd ever done was word of mouth, essentially, or relationship built jobs. I tell the story often about I was on the fifth hole of a local golf course, Whispering Hills, and we got stuck behind a men's league, and it was an older men's league. So we were just sitting there kind of playing on our phones. This was like 2009, so it was even really pre-serious iPhone stuff. So I had a BlackBerry, and I had a friend that I was playing with. It was just messing around on his phone, and I checked my email, and I had an email from someone I had built a relationship with. She owns she's one of the founders of a local media company called Blast Media. They have a ton of huge technology clients. I don't know if like the Beats by Dre is still a client. It was way back when, but they do extremely well for themselves. And she had emailed me and said, "Hey, Ryan, I think we need your help with something, but Kelly, who was the other founder, has to leave for New York in 2 hours. Can you get up to Fisher's?" And I turned to my buddy and said, "Man, I got to go. Do you care if we just leave right now?" And he was like, "No, that's fine." So all of the success that I've had to this point was built on the back of executing and hard work after the fact, but laying the groundwork of building solid relationships.
Right, exactly. And I know, I mean, you're very open on social media and on Facebook with, you know, stuff you go through and life, etc. I know was a few years back you had a serious injury that impacted your life quite a bit.
Yeah, so 2008, it was October of 2008, I had a traumatic brain injury. That very long lead-up story short is that I got out of a car that was drinking and driving because they wouldn't let me drive. And I started to walk back to the bar that we came from. And it's the corner of Mithoffer and 10th here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it's a corner that on the northeast corner sits a Speedway gas station. And it just so happened that there was a cop who was pumping gas, and he was looking backwards or south away from his car, and he didn't see anything happen, but he noticed me lying just inside the curb on the street. Had I been another 10 feet to the right in the grass, he probably doesn't see me, and I would have, I wouldn't be here on right. this podcast enjoying this glass of bourbon with you. Because I wouldn't have gotten to the hospital fast enough. I was in a drug-induced coma for 2 days, and my memory didn't start to refire until about the 25th day. So everything from getting out of the car and taking my first few steps till the 20-something day of the hospital, I have no memory of. And some of my memory prior to that is gone as well. So I would say that I have maybe 20%, not 20, I've lost maybe 20 or 30% of my memory because of the injury. It was blunt force trauma to the back of the head. And I have two long-term injuries because of it. I lost the ability to smell because the nerve that controls that was pinched not to the point that it was dead, but that it was never going to be what it should. So I can't smell anything, including this bourbon in front of me. And I have
that is a shame.
it is. And I have a pretty good parlor trick I can do. One of the nerves that controls your eyes teaming with each other as they move around. If I go past parallel, my left eye starts to do its own thing. Luckily, the lady that was helping me in my recovery, said it's the first time she's seen anyone do it in her 22 years of physical therapy. I was able to train my eye to move back when I want it to. So when you and I have a glass of bourbon sometime in person, I'll be sure to show you, because it's pretty funny and pretty spooky to see the first time.
I can imagine. I'm going to make sure that I haven't drunk anything then, and not putting it down to the bourbon or the scotch or anything. But that's crazy, because I know you mentioned it and you know before, and you mentioned at the start of the show, you'd always been self-employed versus employed now, and I'm guessing that must have had a major impact on your professional life and how you could, you know, support yourself after the injury, etc.
Yeah, I'm someone that doesn't like to play the whole hindsight being 2020 thing, but sometimes I really wish that I would have listened more to my extremely successful retired and when he was like 52 dad, because he had a lot of really good things to say about putting in the work early and building relationships and things like that. But I kind of was a late bloomer when it came to that lesson. And I had to decide for myself if I was going to kind of waller in the insecurities of not having done things, quote unquote, the right way through high school, college, and first of post-college, or if I was going to say, okay, well, you're starting from behind, but that doesn't mean anything other than you've just got to work a little bit harder and run a little bit faster to catch up, so to speak. So I think that as cliche sounds to say, oh, it's all about hard work and you're never as out of it as you think you are and things like that, I'm just living proof that when you back up your words and you execute on things that you say you're going to execute. I have a saying that I love. Effort has a hell of a winning streak.
I like that. That's it's because I always get wary of sound bites, but I like that. That's got nice authenticity to it. And it's true. It's a very true, and especially, you know, to your point of effort and following through. I know one of the things that that we spoke about, I think it was maybe last year, or it could have even been 2017, but your Feed the Kids initiative, which I thought was amazing. And to me, it was a perfect example of seeing something that was wrong and saying, you know what, I'm going to fix this. And obviously you've not fixed it, but you're making a hell of a difference to a bunch of kids. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. So again, it's the running theme of just seeing opportunities and actually acting against them versus, oh man, I wish I would have. I wasn't in a great place financially. So the start of this story is probably something I shouldn't have been doing. I would always go to Starbucks in the morning and get my shots of espresso because I hate the taste of coffee. So since I'm going to drink it, I want to drink it fast. And I had a habit of paying for the person behind me, not because I should have been, but because it made me feel good. And I didn't necessarily have the money to do it, but I liked doing it because of how it made me feel. And one day I posted a message on Facebook, you know, have a great day, 11.95, triple chai, seven pump quad, or whatever person. I don't know what the heck you got to drink, but hashtag pay it forward. And I had a friend message me on Facebook and said, hey, Ryan, if you want a really cool way to pay it forward, I just paid off $100 of delinquent lunch account balances at my daughter's school. She was someone who watches those morning shows like Good Morning America, and it was a story about a mother in Utah that had gotten local press and then national press because her kid's account was a few cents negative, and I believe their school district was, if you have a negative lunch account balance, you don't get any food. Now, what most people don't realize is that while there are certain rules that all of the schools have to follow when it comes to the cafeteria and food and stuff like that, they're essentially all their own, for lack of a better term, business, and they can have different rules on what happens when a kid's account goes delinquent or in the negative. And I took her in, you know, she told me that, and I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. If you were here right now, I'd kiss your forehead. That's such a cool thing. And then I kind of forgot about it. That next week, I was going on a field trip with my second kid, and we got back from the field trip, and for whatever reason, I remembered the conversation I'd had with my friend Cheyenne, and I walked into the school. I said, I'm here to pay off some delinquent lunch accounts. And she says, oh, that's great. Which ones? Or what's your kid's name? I said, well, my kids aren't delinquent. I'm just going to pay off some accounts. She immediately starts crying. I start crying. And what you know about me, Danny, but people listening to this might not know, is that I'm an extremely competitive person. So the entire time I'm thinking, she did $100, I'm going to do the whole damn school. Well, I ended up wanting to do something then, and I told her that I was going to do $101. Well, they couldn't take a card, so I had to drive to my bank, take out cash, come back. Mind you, my balance on my checking account when I did this after giving the $101 so that I was $1 better than her was something like $30. So again, wasn't a good decision. But I went back and I paid the $101 and I said, what's the entire balance? And she says, of what? I said, the school. And then she starts to cry again and she gives me a number. And I said, okay, you'll see me next Wednesday and I'm going to pay off the entire school. I think she thought that I was just someone that had done something really nice and was just saying that to say that. And while in my mind, that's all I was doing because I had no way of paying off the $1,600 that it was, I knew that I could try. I went home. As soon as I got home, I got back on Facebook and said, you know, hey, here's what I did. Here's what I want to do. Hashtag pay it forward. And I did not know that so many people had been one of those kids that I helped that first day who had to have a brown bag lunch or didn't have food one day because, you know, maybe their parents were going through a rough patch or something like that. And Danny, for the next 3 weeks, I would wake up and say, well, shit, there's another $1,300. Let's go pay off another school. And I paid off six schools in 3 weeks.
That's incredible.
And none of it but that initial $100 was my money. It was all just random people who had saw a tweet or a Facebook post or an Instagram post, or I was on MSN.com's mobile homepage for a day, and it just exploded like the internet can when it comes to good things. And it was all just being dumped into a PayPal account that I had set up, and I would just walk into a new school and say, I'm here to pay off the delinquent lunch account balance.
So how many schools have you now helped in this way?
So we did those first six in that first year, and then I decided that I wanted to try to make it a card to where people could, no different than a Netflix membership or a Hulu membership, it's something that they could sign up for and we would ding them every month. And my way of doing that was that people right now have a Netflix account and they might watch one movie a month or one movie every other month, but just having it there is comforting to them. And my synopsis or my hypothesis was that in that same way where they're like, what is this $9.99 that's coming out of my account every month? They're like, oh, that's the feed the kids thing. Well, that was my good deed for the month. And they would leave it running. I got bogged down in the semantics and the tech of having something like that work, that feed the kids kind of has been quiet for the last 2.5 years. I think in total, we've done 8 schools, but I haven't done a school in a couple of years.
Right. But I know there's certainly more people that got inspired by your initial movement to do it in their own states, in their own, you know, cities.
Do you know the only state that I don't have confirmation that the story ran in on local news, not something like Good Morning America? I will PayPal you $50 right now if you can guess the state. Only one.
One state. I'm really bad with the states of the U.S.
Yeah, that's not really fair to you. So we'll think about Nebraska. Nebraska is the only state that I don't have confirmation, whether it's a link of a video or something like that, that a local station picked it up, because, you know, all of those TV stations are like the Channel 13, the NBC channel is connected to all the other NBC affiliates and states and stuff like that. So to this day, that is still the only state that didn't run the original Feed the Kids story.
Wow, that's incredible. And I'm thinking there must be, you know, and maybe people listening to the show, you'd mentioned that you got bogged down in the technical aspects of it. Is it something you'd love to get back into if you had, you know, support on that side?
Yeah, I think that in my mind, there is a subscription model play for something like that, to where no different than the Hulu's or Netflix subscriptions or the podcast subscriptions or whatever, people would buy in because it's a small fee or small monthly fee up front, and then the idea being that they just never turn it off, because every time they see it on their credit card or their bank account report, they feel better about themselves. And I like people to feel better about themselves doing something, and if there's a way that you can kind of get them to just hook into doing it once and then never turning it off, there's at least my understanding of what you are and aren't allowed to do when it comes to donations like that. It would be a pretty cool thing to see someone try.
Well, I'd love to see it, you know, resurface in some form, because I was super impressed with it when I first saw, you know, your original campaign. And I know like Facebook Stories even featured you, which is really cool.
Yeah, that was fun. They flew a team out, or maybe the team drove down and hung out with us for a day to do stuff. So my two boys, they, you know, just thought it was the coolest thing ever that we were going to be on some Facebook thing.
No, for sure. And I've got to ask you before we wrap up for the show, was it Kevin who lost the bet at school?
Yeah. So... He didn't quite understand, and maybe he hadn't experienced it yet, that people listening to this show probably have seen, like, was it the Hardee's kid that said, if, you know, Hardee's told me they would give me Hardee's free for life if I could get 1 million retweets, kind of a thing.
Right.
Well, the analog version of that happened to him, where a friend told him that he would look good with pink hair. And Kevin was like, no, I wouldn't. And he's like, yeah, you totally would. I'm going to start petition. I'm going to start a petition to get Kevin pink hair. And Kevin said, he's told the kid, all right, you get 100 signatures by tomorrow and I'll do it. Not thinking that he could. Well, this kid was a go-getter, and he went around like 2 different lunch periods and went up to every single kid and had them sign it. So by the next day, he had like 400 signatures. So I called Kevin's barber on this past Sunday and said, look, here's what we need to do. And he had such a good time with it. He went live on his Instagram and just was having fun with all of Kevin's friends watching it. And it is pink.
Yeah, I saw the picture and I thought, oh man, that's outstanding. How's he taking it? Is he being a good sport, or is he pissed that he made the bet in the first place? Or
no, we told him that he should follow through with it because A, you don't welch on bets, but B, all of the kids are going to be shocked that he actually did it. So he's going to probably gain a ton of respect out of it. Like, kids are going to be like, all right, that, you know, he's cool because he did XYZ, and it was actually going to increase popularity and all of that jazz, which matters to you when you're in high school. And sure enough, he texted me that about lunchtime on that Monday and said, DC was right. Everyone is shocked that I did it, and I've gained so much respect from people.
That's awesome. Well, I know. I mean, I showed my kids it and they loved it. They thought it was awesome. So he's got fans over here. You know, so if he ever comes to Canada, he'll get like the red carpet rolled out to him. That was awesome.
Very cool.
All right. Well, Ryan, this has been amazing. I could really sit here and chat for hours and hours. I really enjoyed, you know, hearing your story. If people want to connect with you online, and I'll drop all the links in the show notes, but if they want to connect with you online, where's the best place to find you?
Yeah. So my handle, as it were, is Ryan Lee Cox, RyanLeeCox, pretty much everywhere. So Facebook.com/RyanLeeCox, Instagram.com/RyanLeeCox, LinkedIn/IN/RyanLeeCox, Twitter, my handle is Ryan Lee Cox. So if you type Ryan Lee Cox into Google, I've done a pretty good job, and that's why I did Ryan Lee, not Ryan Cox. I've done a pretty good job of cornering that space on the internet.
Awesome. Well, I'd say I'll make sure to put the links in the show notes, but I think that was pretty good instructions there.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I've appreciated listening. I'm bummed that Kat beat me to the punch, but I'm glad that I got to hear hers, and I think this is cool because for me, just being able to disconnect and kind of listen to someone interesting talk for a while is a good disconnect for me from staring at Instagram or Twitter for another hour before bed or something like that, and getting to learn about someone that you would have on because you respected them, which is kind of like an instant qualifier for me that it's someone worth just hearing their story. And I consider myself fortunate to be one of the people that was able to share theirs.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, bud. I really do. And when I saw your name pop up in the Calendly invite, I thought, yes, this is going to be good. So I'm glad we got together on that. And we will for sure have to get together properly in person soon, whether it's in Canada or over in Indiana. Okay, well, guys, this has been another episode of Life Through a Dram. I hope you've enjoyed Ryan's story. There's so many good takeaways there. And like I say, if you want to connect and, you know, talk to him more, his details will be in the show notes. Until next week, this has been Life Through a Dram. Shlán Shivar.
This has been Life Through a Dram. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.